الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الدنيا حرام على أهل الآخرة، والآخرة حرام على أهل الدنيا، وهما حرامان على أهل الله. وقال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام: هل الدين إلا الحب؟ صلوات. The series of majalis under the subject of Islam, the religion of hub and love, has entered into the third day, and we discussed already that it is important for a person who loves the Prophet and loves the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam in order to maintain this great ni'mat of Allah, which is considered to be the foundation and asas of the entire religion Islam. In order to maintain this love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we have to distance ourselves from any and every attachment of this dunya. Because the Holy Prophet has informed us that dunya is haram on those who belong to akhirat, and akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya. وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ, and both of them are haram, عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ, on those who belong to Allah. So in order for a person to maintain the love, see, every haqiqat, لِكُلِّ حَقِيقَةٍ عَلَامَةٌ, every haqiqat and reality has a sign, and we discover the presence of that haqiqat and reality through the sign. So if you want to discover whether the love is there, the sign of the love and its presence in the qalb, which is the hometown and watan of muhabbat, the watan and hometown of muhabbat is the qalb and soul of a mu'min. That's the only place where this entity, this commodity is found in the universe, in the soul of a mu'min. So if you want to discover whether this commodity, muhabbat, love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, is available, then we discover it through the sign. And the sign of love is that whatever Urafa say is Kashful Asrar Rububiyyah. That means there has to be a discovery of the divine secrets. This soul must be discovering the divine secrets and the noor and divine light of His secrets, of Allah's secrets, must flash. Al-ishraqul qalbi, how we say it, must flash on the soul of the mu'min. So when this kind of situation happens, that the asrar and secrets are shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the asar will appear as well. You'll see the symptoms. The symptoms of love is that a muhib, a lover of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, a muhib and lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will never find peace and satisfaction unless and until you do the zikr of his mahbub. That means you mention the mahbub, the beloved, in front of him. That's how every lover is. Every lover strives to listen to the zikr of its mahbub. Isn't it right? We care about the mahbub and beloved, and we love to talk and listen and hear about him. Isn't that right? So, the zikr of mahbub, the person will strive to listen to the zikr of mahbub, and the amr and nahi, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ma'roof and munkar, what Allah holds to be good, quote unquote, in his eyes, and what Allah holds to be munkar and hated and evil in his eyes, will also be considered good and evil in the eyes of the lover. So our likes and dislikes, our hub and bughs, our jazb and dafa, our attractive forces and repulsive forces will be in sync and harmonious with those of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we discover a person is a muhib. Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh has a wonderful book on this subject, which I will certainly recommend all of you, especially our youth, to go through that book, Jazibe wa Dafa'e Ali in Farsi. That's how they say it. That means attractive and repulsive forces of the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Whom did Imam Ali alayhi salam befriend and why? And whom did Imam Ali alayhi salam hold as his enemy and why? What used to bring a person closer to Imam Ali alayhi salam? What were the sifat and attributes found in the soul that are so beloved in the eyes of Imam Ali alayhi salam that whomsoever had those sifat and attributes in his soul, Imam Ali will always befriend him? And what are those sifat and attributes in the soul of a person? If found, he has to be hated by Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Ali will distance himself from him. This is the concept of jazb and dafa, which also we call it hub and bughs. And that's a very primary and rock bottom concept of Islam. Prophet Musa, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went sent his wahi to Prophet Musa, saying, Hal amilta li amalan khalisan. Allah ne janab Musa se kaha ke kya aapne koi khalis amal mere liye anjam diya? Did you do any action purely for me, sincerely for me? Prophet Musa replied, Rabbi sallaytu laka, O my Lord, I prayed for you. Sumtu laka, I fasted for you. Sabbahtu laka, I did my tasbih, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did your tasbih for you. Halaltu laka, I did tahleel for you. And reading the zikr of La ilaha illallah, in Arabic we call it tahleel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to Prophet Musa, As-salatu laka jawazun ala sirat. As far as your prayers are concerned, that's a license for you to cross over the bridge of sirat. What benefit it holds for Allah, in other words. Namazein aapne padhi hain, to uska fayda ye hai ki aapki namazein aapka parwana hai pul-e sirat se guzarne ke liye. Allah ka kya fayda, balfaz-e digar. As-sawmu laka junnatum min an-nar. The fasting is your shield from the hellfire. It's going to shield the flames of hellfire away from you. Again, what benefit it holds for Allah, in other words. And Allah said, التسبيح والتهليل لك درجات في الجنة. تسبيح and تهليل, you glorifying Allah by saying Subhanallah and you saying La ilaha illallah. These kinds of zikr and phrases of remembrance of Allah are your levels in the paradise. Again, what it has to do with Allah? Is there any benefit Allah is getting out of it? In other words, no. So, فَبَكَى مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. The narration says Prophet Musa cried. When he heard that, he ended up crying. And he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my Lord, رَبِّ دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ خَالِسٍ لَكَ. O my Lord, guide me towards an action which is purely for you. That means which action you consider to be purely for your sake. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that hal walayta li waliyan. Now there are two different narrations. One narration says Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Allah said to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, hal saqayta atshanan, did you provide water to a thirsty? Hal nasarta mazluman, did you provide help to an oppressed, a mazloom person? دیکھیں اسلام میں کبھی بھی اپنے انفرادی واجبات ادا کرنے کے اوپر فخر نہیں کیجیے گا. Never be proud over you performing the personal عبادات and worships of Islam. That's not a matter of pride. If you are performing your personal عبادات, you are doing a favor on anybody. You are favoring your own soul. Isn't that right? What does the Islamic Ummah, Prophet gave us the concept of one Ummah. Isn't that right? So we are part of one Ummah. We have to be part of one Ummah. We have to feel like that, that every Mu'min brother and sister out there, and every Muslim brother and sister out there is part of my body. Kal jasadil wahid. Just like one body. If something happens to one part of your body, can you say, well, this is a pain, this is an injury happening to my finger, it has nothing to do with me. Can you say that? That's ridiculous. Isn't that right? Because the finger is part of your body. You can't disconnect and disassociate yourself from your own finger. Look at the beautiful example that his Prophet has furnished when he says that we are part of one body, in other words. Now there's no room for escape. I already told you in the first speech that when we talk about hadith, there's zero escape for a person. And that's one of the reasons why some people are avoiding talking about hadith and focusing on Quran only. Because they want to run away with what they are doing, their own personal agendas. Forgetting the basic fact that the entire Quran is also hadith of Rasulullah. We learn it from his tongue. So, what I was saying is that we are part of one ummah. So, when we are not supposed to be feeling proud over any of the al-fara'id al-infiradiyah, the personal fara'id of Islam, personal duties of Islam. Because when you perform your personal nature of duties, you are actually favoring your own self. You did not do nothing towards the Islamic ummah. When Imam Hassan alayhi salam was asked, man khairun nas? Who is the best of the people? Somebody asked Imam Hassan alayhi salam, who is the best of the people? And Imam Hassan alayhi salam replied, khairun nas man yanfa'un nas. Best of the people is the one who benefits the people. So our greatness in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam lies in the fact, what did we do for the rest of the brothers and sisters in around us in the human society and Islamic Ummah? Whatever you do for the Islamic Ummah, your social and political obligations is going to make you mu'azzaz and mukarram and dignified in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. Not your personal duties only. Personal duty of Islam without the social and political obligation is Islam of Kufa. Isn't that right? یہی تو کر رہے تھے نا کوفے والے, نمازیں بھی ہو رہی ہیں, حجاب بھی ہو رہا ہے, خمس بھی ہو رہا ہے, روزے بھی ہو رہے ہیں, حج بھی ہو رہے ہیں, حسین ابن علی ذبح بھی ہو رہے ہیں ایسی نمازوں کے ساتھ. یہ نا کوفے والا اسلام, نان پولیٹیکل اسلام, جسے کسی طاغوت کو اسرائیل کو بھی کوئی پرواہ نہیں ہے. پڑھتے رہے ہیں ایسی نمازیں, ٹکرے مارتے رہے. ہم سے زیادہ خوبصورت مسجدیں تو وہابیوں کی ہیں. بنا لیجیے ایسی مسجدیں بغیر ولایت کے, پڑھ لیجیے ایسی نمازیں بغیر ولایت کے.
Go and pray those types of silly, ahmakana, stupid prayers without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt that the Wahhabis are doing and all those people of Kufa were doing. The prayers without the walayat has to be wrapped and thrown back at the faces of those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not stand in need of the prayers without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, nor do the Ahlul Bayt stand in need of these prayers and fasting without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt.
That some people are following the Islam of Kufa, non-political Islam, allowing Hussein ibn Ali to be killed next door, but they are busy in prayers and fasting and they think that's enough. They can run away with it. Islam without political fara'is towards Ummah. That's the key question. So we have to care about what we do towards others. That's how we become muhtaram in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. What have we done towards the rest of the humans and mu'mineen in the Islamic Ummah? This is the key question. So yeah, I was telling you that according to one of the narrations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Musa, Hal saqaita atshanan? Did you provide water to a thirsty? Hal nasarta mazluman? Did you help a mazloom and oppressed person? Hal akramta aliman? Did you respect a scholar? Hal kasawta uryanan? Did you provide clothes to a person who has nothing to wear? Hadha li amalun khalis. This is the khalis and sincere and pure action for me. And look at the nature of the response of Allah. All those actions are not personal in nature. They're not infiradi. You're providing water to the thirsty. This is not infiradi fariva of Islam. That's the social obligation of Islam. You are helping a mazloom, an oppressed person. That's not infiradi and personal nature of ibadat in Islam. That's a political duty of Islam to support the oppressed. Sirat of Amir Mumin Islam. Never staying silent over any zulm. Never allow any single zulm or oppression be gone unnoticed and unchecked. That's not the seerat of Imam Ali. That's the seerat of Abu Sufyan and Ali Abu Sufyan. La'anatullahi alayhim ajma'in. So we don't follow Ali Abu Sufyan, isn't it right? We follow the Islam of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we are proud over the Islam that opposes the zulm. Not the Islam which stays sakit over zulm. Now some people want to follow that. This is Islam of convenience. See, I call it Islam of convenience. Some people are following Islam of convenience. Not the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. Because it's easy. You can run away with, you know, you stay silent over the zulm of Tawhud and you're okay. Nini maulana, hum toh yahaan rehne ke liye aaye hain. Arre, hum bhi yahaan rehne hi ke liye aaye hain. Hum yahaan marne ke liye nahi aaye hain. Kis qeemat pe rehne ke liye aaye hain? Deen bech ke rehne ke liye aaye hain? Deen bech ke rehne ke liye nahi aaye hum. We are not here to sell out and compromise over the basic values and principles of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. No way. We are not animals. Even the animals never do that. That would be an insult of animals if we say that. Animals never compromise over their principles. They have hidayatun takweeniya. They have been given hidayat, you know, by virtue of their existence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never disobey as they are commanded. They always do as they are commanded. You can hold the meat in front of a horse and wait for 1,000,000 years and you find the horse is never going to consume the meat. Isn't that right? You will be wasting your time. Because Allah has already commanded the horse what to eat and what not to eat. Isn't that right? And you can hold the carrot in front of a tiger and wait for 1,000,000 years and you'll be wasting your time, because tiger is never going to disobey what Allah has already commanded to the tiger what to eat and what not to eat. Isn't that right? They never compromise over their principles and values. So it's an insult if we call these humans to be like animals. Animals are never like that. Imam Rida alayhi salam recited the shi'r. Recited the shi'r of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam. That, you know, Imam Rida alayhi salam is reading the shi'r that in dhi'ba yatruku lahma dhi'bin wa ya'kulu ba'dhuna ba'dhan ayana. A wolf leaves the flesh of a fellow wolf. A wolf never consumes the meat of a fellow wolf.
whereas some of the humans are eating up some other fellow humans. Isn't that right? That's the shair that was recited by Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and it belonged to the qasida of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam.
So that's how some of the humans are. They are worse than animals. They do things that even a wolf would never think of doing. A wolf can never consume a fellow wolf. So we are humans. It's human to take sides. We are not a statue. Isn't that right? We have a soul and a body. So we have to take sides. There's no room in Islam for neutrality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning all those duties in the response to his messenger Prophet Musa alayhi salam, which are social and political in nature. All those duties which have some benefit being provided to others in the ummah instead of benefits provided to your own self, becoming self-centered and cutting away and breaking away from your fara'id and duties towards the ummah. So, and in another narration, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet Musa, and in this narration it's a little bit different. Allah says, "Hal walayta li waliyan? Wahal adait hal adait li aduwan? Did you love a beloved servant of mine? Did you hold as your enemy an enemy of mine? That means whomsoever I consider to be my beloved servant and wali, did you hold him to be your beloved as well? Whomsoever I consider to be my enemy, did you also hold him as your enemy?" That means your likes and dislikes, did the likes and dislikes of yours match with my likes and dislikes? So this is what Allah considers to be the khalis and pure action of your likeness and dislikeness, your hub and bughz, your love and hate, matching with the love and hate theory of Allah. That's how we are supposed to be. So that's what we are discussing. The sign of the hub. The sign. See, it's not a big deal if I claim to be. Nini, humse to bada koi ahle bait ka chahne wala hi nahi hai. Hamari yahan to bhai 17 saal se maulana hamari yahan halim ki majlis hoti hai. Maine kaha majlis halim ki nahi hoti, majlis Imam Hussain ki hoti hai. 17 saal se ab majlis hai. I can make a million claims about myself. It doesn't cost no money to make claims. This is not a big deal that I can claim for myself that I am a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. The big deal is that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam accept me that I am a lover of Ahlul Bayt. That's the big deal. That I am considered to be a muhib in the dictionary of Amirul Mumin alayhis salam, who holds the license to cross over the bridge of Sirat. And that's been narrated by Hazrat Abu Bakr. He said that I heard the Holy Prophet saying, "La yajuzu ahadun as-sirat illa man kataba lahu aliyun al-jawaz." No one can cross. I heard the Holy Prophet saying, no one can cross the bridge of Sirat except for the one for whom Imam Ali alayhi salam has written the license to cross over the bridge. In other words, so the sign and the symptoms of muhabbat is that a person would love to talk about his beloved, would love to hear the mention and zikr of his beloved. Well, zikr actually is not lisani only. Zikr e lisani, I mean you orally you orally talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, orally talk about the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that's very good. But that's considered to be the lowest of all the azkar and the remembrances. The highest category of zikr and remembrance is what Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat, this great arif of ours, has mentioned, that the actual zikr and the highest zikr in Islam is what is called zikre amali, and which is actually because of the zikr-e-qalbi.
That's the real remembrance, that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you remember the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in your qalb. And when you remember the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in your qalb and you remember Allah in your qalb, whatever is part of your qalb will have to have impact on the parts of your body. So you will end up doing zikre amali. That means every part of your body shows that you are remembering Allah and remembering the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Every part of our body, our hands show that we remember Ahlul Bayt. So we don't commit any harams through the hands. Our eyes show that we are remembering Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we don't look towards non-mahram in the bad sense. We don't. So our eyes need to be zakir, remembering Allah and remembering the Ahlul Bayt. Our ears need to be zakir, remembering Allah and remembering Ahlul Bayt. So we don't listen to those voices that Allah made haram to listen. So now the ear is also a zakir. Not only the lisan and tongue, which is easily done, but it's not going to benefit us if the zikr and remembrance is not found in the qalb. Whatever is found on your tongue will stay in this dunya. And whatever has penetrated into your qalb will enter with you in the grave. So that's why we find Ayatullah Bahjat is saying the actual zikr is not zikr al-lisani. That's the lowest level of zikr possible. Which awamun nas think that's the highest zikr. Isn't that right? So the highest zikr is the zikr amali. Every part of our body is remembering Allah. Our legs, we don't walk to places where Allah made haram to go. So now the legs are also zakir. They are remembering Allah. They are busy in Allah's zikr and remembrance. Every part of the body has to have a share of zikr. So we find that if a person, our scholars say, if a person remembers Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and cares about the Amr and Nahi, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now when the time of death arrives, Allah sends angels to him. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannah. Go to my servant, in other words, and stand in saf, in ranks in front of him. Stand in ranks and give him the glad tidings and basharat of the paradise. And don't be afraid and don't be sorrowful. The angels are comforting you at the time of death on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Ayatullah al-Uthma, Sheikh Jawad, Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi, rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great arifs of the glorious Shia history. He used to say that I know some people for whom the angel of Allah arrives and wakes him up at the time of Namaz-e-Shab, the night prayers, and calls him, "Oh my master, please wake up. Oh my master, wake up." Angel of Allah is arriving to wake this person. So we have great scholars and we have great personalities in Islam for whom the angels of Allah are serving as servants. Angel of Allah is a servant of a mu'min who is truly a mu'min and a lover of Ahlul Bayt. So we find that the angels are sent. But now when the soul is taken out, and as soon as a person dies, the relatives, the children, the wife or the husband, children, the family members who are standing around, or the friends, if they have time from their job schedule to show up, you know, fortunately at the time of final moments in the time of death, and all those people are standing around the dead person, and people start crying, screaming, isn't it right? Wa-wa-la. Now they become angry over the death of the person. And the angel of death addresses these people who are standing around the dead person, that I did not show up based on my personal opinion. I was commanded by Allah. Why are you guys crying? The angel of death addresses the people around, that why are you guys crying? Did I come on my own person based on my personal opinion? It's the command of Allah. See, we are supposed to be submissive, having just by taslim, essence of submission towards Allah and His commands and wisdom. Isn't that right? So, people are
since the people are, do not have the essence of submission, that's why they end up making policies and behaviors which are not in sync with Allah's wisdom. So when Abu Zar, rahmatullah alayh, came next to his son who was dying, and he started to cry, and the son said, and he said to his son, well, I'm not crying for your sake. I'm not saying, in other words, I'm not crying that you are departing and leaving me alone. So look at the ma'rifat of Abu Zar. This is a role model
for us, because Abu Zar rahmatullah alayh is a companion of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. His knowledge is based on the knowledge of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Abu Zar says to his son that I'm not dying, I'm not crying because you are going away. I'm crying because how are you going to handle the questions of the angels which are about to be asked from you? I'm afraid about that.
There's a story, our scholars say, there's a story, some of the scholars have narrated, this guy was lying on his deathbed, his wife is there, father and mother are there, children are there, everybody is crying. This person who is dying, he asked, turned to his wife, his father first. Dad, why are you crying?
The dad replied, well, son, you know what? I raised you so that you can be helpful towards me when I grow older. So now that you are dying, who's going to help me in my elderly age?
So he turned to his, this person turned to his mom. Mom, why are you crying? See, my son, I raised you so that you can support me when I grow old. So now you are passing away, so I will be helpless. He turned to his wife and she replied, well, who's going to take care of the orphans that you are leaving behind? So who's going to stand behind me to raise all these children when you are gone? So he turned to his children, why are you crying? And they replied, well, Dad, you are passing away, so who's going to supervise us? So he said, okay, so all of you guys are actually crying for your own personal reasons and interests. None of you are crying for me, that what is going to happen to me and what will be my destiny after a few moments that I will be laid into the grave. Am I heading towards the hellfire or am I heading towards the paradise? Will I receive the adab from Allah or the sawab from Allah? None of you are worried about me. All of you are worried about your personal desires and interests.
Isn't that right? Islam has already said to us that the best of your companions are the ones, the real companions of yours are the ones with whom you have a relationship based on taqwa. Quran has announced, Ya al-khilla'u yawma'izin ba'dhuhum li-ba'dhin adu illa al-muttaqeen.
So all the friends are enemies towards each other except the pious people.
If your relationship is based on taqwa and piety, that's where your relation is a true relation in the eyes of Quran. If your relation with any person is not based on taqwa or piety, this relationship is considered to be adawat and enmity in the eyes of Islam, and it will appear on all those people who have hijabat and curtains that they block their vision to see the realities. It will appear on them on the day of judgment that actually they were enemies towards each other. Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'dhuhum li-ba'dhin adu. The friends on that day, some of them are enemies towards each other. So all the friends are enemies, except those who have taqwa. They were enemies back then in the life of dunya, but people failed to realize because of those curtains of sins. So we find that this is going to happen at the time of death. Now Haris al-Hamdani is one of the very respectable companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, belonging to the qabila and tribe of Hamdan. This is not Hamadan, which is the city of Iran. This is Hamdan, where the meme is Sakin. Hamdan, which is a tribe of Yemen. Hamdan tribe is a lover of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And so Haris al-Hamdani belongs to that tribe, and he said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, then I'm afraid about two of those places. One is about the time of Nazar, when the soul is taken out. What's going to happen at that time, in other words. And the other one is at the time of Sirat, when people will be crossing the bridge. So Imam Ali al-Salam said that I will be there at both the places. So Imam Ali al-Salam is going to be there at both of those places and helping his people, helping his mu'mineen, helping his believers, those who have the ma'rifat of Imam Ali al-Salam, and those who have the mahabbat and love of Imam Ali al-Salam, and he recognizes them and they would recognize him. So it is said in the, it is said that whenever a mu'min who dies over the muwalat, over the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and he cares about the amr and nahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he passes away, he finds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his right at the time of death, and he finds Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam on his left at the time of death, and he finds Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain standing in front of him at the time of death, and he sees the rest of the 9 Imams at the time of death. So it's not only the Imam Ali alayhi salam appearing at the time of death, which is for sure, because he said to Haris al-Hamdani, "Man yamut ya Haro Hamdan, man yamut yarani." Imam Ali al-Salam is saying to Haris al-Hamdani that whoever dies sees me. So it's a matter of consensus among our fuqaha and mujtahideen that every single person who dies away from this dunya at the time of his death, he sees Imam Ali al-Salam. And that was the dua of Holy Prophet as well. Because Prophet had prayed to Allah, "Allahumma la tumitni hatta turayani aliyan." Oh my Lord, don't make me die until I see Ali. So that was the dua of the Holy Prophet as well. The last face that the Prophet saw before departing this world was also the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Just like the first face Imam Ali alayhi salam saw soon after his birth, when his mom came out of the Holy Kaaba on the day number 4 and she delivered Imam Ali alayhi salam, the baby, into the lap of the Holy Prophet, and Imam Ali alayhi salam opened up his eyes, the first thing he saw was the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that all the 9 Imams are surrounding. They are available as well. And the Mu'min sees them. And Prophet says to Malakul Maut, coming here to take the soul out, to do the way I have said to you. In other words. And Malakul Maut replies back to the Holy Prophet that, Ask this person to first look up and see his place in the paradise. So Prophet asked the Mu'min to look up, and the Mu'min will look up and witness his own place inside the paradise. So we believe that every Mu'min who passes away over the Iman on the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt, and who cares about the Amr and Nahi, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not die away from this world unless and until he sees his own place inside the paradise. So he would look up, he will see his place in paradise, and which our scholars say that those of the blessings of Allah which no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard of. Those types of blessings of Allah which are undescribable in words. There's no human who can describe those blessings of Allah that he has prepared and arranged for such a mu'min. So now when he sees his place in the paradise and he performs a ziyarat of these anwar, these great personalities, he himself says to Malakul Maut that be quick in taking the soul out. See, the people are standing around him and they are crying. Look at the difference of perspectives. People around him are crying, and in most of the cases, crying over their own personal reasons, because of their own personal reasons and interests. In most of the cases. In a few cases you find like Abu Zar and those who are on the ma'rifat will not be crying over their personal interests. Instead, they will be worried about this person's, you know, future and destiny more than what they will worry about themselves. So people, when they read the Kalimatul Istirja, you know, it is mustahab. When we hear the news of some mu'min dying, we read the kalima of Istirja, you know, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Isn't it right? That's sawab to read. But sometimes we find people are reading Kalimatul Istirja with the intention of the dead person. We are not reading with the intention of that person. We are talking about our own selves in the kalima. Inna lillah. We are for the sake of Allah. Wa inna. We. Ilayhi raji'un. Are returning back towards Him. So we are talking about our own selves. We should care about how I can do islah and correction of myself so I can be prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can be prepared to meet Imam Ali alayhi salam, and I can be prepared to meet the rest of the Ahlul Bayt. That's how our preparation is. When we say inna lillah, we are prepared. We are not attached to this world. See, the sign of a person not attached to this dunya is that he will be razi and pleased bil yaseer min ad-dunya. Even less of the temporary belongings that he may have from this material world, he will be pleased with the less of the temporary belongings. So those of the people who are going for more and more and more must understand that they are attached to this dunya, which is considered to be the biggest haram in the shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The sign of a mu'min who follows the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt, not being attached to this dunya, is that he is razi and pleased with yaseer, with the less that he has. And he's not even sorrowful about anything that he misses from this dunya. If some people become sorrowful, isn't it right? Because if they lose something of this dunya, they are so much sorry. You know? Amma ba'd fa innal mar'a, Amir Mumin says in Ahlul Balagha, fa innal mar'a yasurruhu darku ma lam yakun li yafutahu. Insan khush hota hai is cheez se ke usko wo cheez mil gayi jo ke usko milni hi thi. A person becomes happy, he cherishes and rejoices over achieving those of the material belongings that were bound to reach him, and now that he has got those belongings, he becomes rejoiced. Why are you rejoicing? It was supposed to reach you anyway. You're not supposed to be rejoicing over the material gains in this dunya. You are supposed to rejoice over the things of akhirat. Isn't that right? Look at the difference of perspectives. That's why we feel the pain at the time of leaving, because of the attachment to dunya. That's why we feel the whole pain. So Imam Ali says, إِنَّ الْمَرْءَ أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْءَ يَسُرُّهُ دَرْكُ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَيَفُوتَهُ. A person is such that he becomes happy because he gained something of this material world that he was never supposed to lose anyway. In other words, that means in the qaza and qadr of Allah, in the divine destiny, it was already decided by Allah that this kind of stuff is bound to reach your hands. Now you got it, you become rejoiced. Why are you feeling happy? It was bound to reach you anyway, whether you feel happy or you are sad. Look at the behavior of the human. And then Imam Ali says, why? يَحْزُنُهُ فَوْتُ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُدْرِكَهُ. A person becomes mahzoon and sorrowful because he has lost what was never supposed to be achieved by him.
جب ہم ایسی کوئی چیز کھو دیں جو کہ اللہ کے قضاء و قدر میں تو لکھی ہی نہیں تھی کہ ہمیں ملنی ہے,
تو پہلے سے اللہ نے قضاء و قدر میں لکھا ہی نہیں تھا کہ یہ چیز ہمیں ملے گی. اب وہ چیز ہمیں نہیں ملی, اب اس پہ محزون ہو گیا انسان.
کیا ہے کیفیت انسان کی, انسان کی کیا کہ جو چیز لکھی ہی نہیں تھی قضاء و قدر میں کہ ہمیں مل سکتی ہے, ملے گی نہیں, وہ ہمیں نہیں ملی, اس پہ محزون ہو گئے, اس پہ غمزدہ ہو گئے. That's how a human is. Just because he could not get what was never destined to reach him, he got upset, got sorrowful. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam said, see, we need to adjust our policies of life with the sunnat of Allah and the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam says that فَلْيَكُنْ
it should be like this, that whatever you get from the akhirat, whatever you achieve from the akhirat, that is supposed to, in other words, that should cause surur and happiness for you, that now I have achieved something, now I achieved in my life something that belongs to the akhirat. This should cause rejoicement for you. And whatever you lose from this dunya should not cause any pain or sorrow for you. وَلْيَكُنْ هَمُّكَ فِيمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Then Amir Mumineen says, your hum and your focus of life should be what is after the death. That has to be the focus of our life. What am I receiving from that world, Alamul Malakut? If I am losing something of that world, this is a matter of sorrow. A human is never supposed to be sorrowful over losing anything of this dunya. Now look at how far we have gotten from their teachings. And that's why the pain, that's why the sorrow, that's why the crying unnecessarily over our personal interests. So we find that's how the Ahlul Bayt do. They appear next to the mu'min. And the mu'min sees them. Imam Ali al-Islam is for sure appearing for every mu'min. And finally, we find, see, the attachment, making dunya, like I already said to you in the earlier speech, making money from halal is not a problem. See, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Mirzai Shirazi Buzurg, jinhone tehreem tambaku ka fatwa diya, the one who gave the fatwa about the fact that tobacco is haram in those days, against the British colonialists, which is one of the big jihad in Islam that he did. Rahmatullahi alayh. So, in history we call him Mirza Shirazi Buzurg, Mirza Shirazi the Great. That's how he's remembered in the history. So this great scholar of ours was a rich man in his personal life. And one of his class fellows, who was a poor person, another scholar, visited him. And this poor scholar visiting his class fellow Mirza Shirazi Buzurg, Mirza Shirazi the Great. And Mirza Shirazi is a rich person. And this scholar had a stick. He was a poor guy, had nothing, you know, penniless person, walking with a stick. He came to pay a visit to his old-time friend. And he saw that Mirza Shirazi is a rich person having all this. So he kind of, said, he could not stop, he said it, he expressed it, his concern about how are you living this sort of life, having all that money with you. Mirza Shirazi did not answer to his question. Instead, he asked one of his servants to take away this stick of his and hide it. One of his servants took the stick of this guy and they hid the stick. Finally, when the time arrived, when this scholar was leaving, and he didn't find his stick, he got so upset, so much upset, and he started to complain. And that's where Mirza asked his servant to bring the stick back. And then when the stick was given back to him, Mirza Shirazi said to him, if all this mal, this wealth that you are seeing is lost, I'm not going to worry about nothing of this wealth for a moment. Whereas you had nothing in from this dunya except a stick. And when the stick is gone, you are so much upset and worried. See, that's how our scholars are. So it's not a problem if you are leading a life which is according to your social status. Haysiyatun urfiyya. Shariat of Imam Sadiq al-Islam is perfectly allowing everybody to lead a life. It's okay for everybody to lead a life. If you want to lead a simpler and simpler and simpler life, Sada Zindagi, it will have more salam. But if you wish not to do so, that's okay, as long as you are within the framework of your social status. Haysiyatun urfiyya. But you're not supposed to be attached to none of those belongings. Just like Mirza Shirazi is not attached. If everything is gone, he's still very happy and okay. That's the way we are supposed to be. If we are like this, then we will not be afraid of death because we are already prepared for it. And then is the time of the janazah arrives. So hadith says that the first gift that Allah gives to a mu'min in his grave is that ghafartu laka wa li jami'i man salla alayk. The hadith says the first gift that arrives to a mu'min in the grave, in other words, is that Allah says to him, I have forgiven you and to all those people who have prayed on you. It's extremely important. The speech is now coming to the end. It's very important, brothers and sisters, that we take out time from our busy schedules. When we hear the news of some mu'min passing away, we go and participate in his janazah. Tashiyul janazah is a huge sawab in Islam, even though you are busy. Doesn't matter, take a leave from your job. We need to have some priorities adjusted to the priorities of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You know, first things first, participating in the tashiyul janazah of a mu'min is extremely important agenda in the dictionary of Ahlul Bayt. We need to take time out from the job and go and participate. And if you don't care about others, stop expecting others caring about you and your janazah. That's how it works. Irham man fil arv, yarhamuka man fil sama. You have rahmat and mercy on those on earth, and those in the heaven will have mercy on you. If you don't have rahm and mercy on those on earth, forget about receiving the mercy from those who are in the heaven. You know, you get what you deserve. That's justice. So, man la yarham, Prophet said in a hadith, man la yarham, la yurham. Someone who doesn't have mercy on others doesn't get the mercy from others. So we need to take time out and we need to give importance and tarjih to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt consider to be important, participating in the janazah of a mu'min. And one of the benefits of that you are forgiven as well. Because that's the first gift Allah sends to the qabr of a mu'min, sending the message that ghafartu laka, I forgive you, wa li jami'i man salla ma'ak, salla alayk, and to all those who prayed upon you. If you are participating in the salatul mayyit, namaz janazah, the prayers on the dead that we recite, you are participating in that prayers, you are also forgiven by Allah. So, but we find that there is a janazah in Karbala where nobody prayed on it. Isn't that right? There is one janazah who is lying on the maqtal in Ashura, where those of the people who were claiming to be belonging to Islam, with there as a lip service, claiming to be Muslims, claiming to be believing in the Prophet and Islam and Allah, but are not ready to pray on the janazah. And not just that, but Hazrat Fizza came. You know, Hazrat Fizza came and informed Hazrat Zainab that now I have a big news for you. Which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in this and the rest of the speeches. So she says, so Hazrat Zainab, that I have a big news for you. And Shahzadi Zainab says, there's no big news remaining for me. That means after the Shahadat of Husayn ibn Ali, there's no further news which is big for Zainab. Hazrat Fizza says, they are preparing to crush the janazah of Imam Hussein under the hooves of the horses. See, you Ahlul Bayt, you Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hussein doesn't have any family members, any tribe people who can support him. Different janazahs of Shuhada were taken away by their tribes, but there is no tribe of Imam Hussein available who can come and help and take the janazah of Hussein ibn Ali. So it's the only janazah which is lying in the maqtal of Karbala that nobody take care of that. And Imam Hussein's janazah is lying there for 3 days without the kafan and without the ghusl and without the salatul mayyit. Now, Hazrat Zainab, I don't know what had happened to the qalb of Hazrat Zainab. How did she tolerate all those masaib when her brother is the only janazah lying there? And now Sayyid ibn Taus says, فَقَامَ عَشْرَةُ فَوَالِ Paris, 10 of the horses were prepared. They put new hoofs, they prepared the horses to crush the janazah of Sayyid al-Shuhada under the hoofs of the horses. 10 of the horses were prepared, and they started to crush the janazah. And we find that it is not just that, but after that, finally, somebody came and stole the kameez, the shirt of Imam Hussein. It could not remain. The same Imam Hussein alayhi salam came in the final moments to his sister. Itini, Hazrat Zainab was Hamile Asrar. She was the carrier of the secrets of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. She was the closest person. So Imam Hussein came to Hazrat Zainab. Itini bi thawbin atiq. That means Imam Hussein was asking her to give me that old dress that his mother Hazrat Fatima has sewn, that dress, so he can put it under his clothes so that his body cannot be removed of the clothes after his qatl. But look at the zulm done by the ashqiya, that they had taken the kameez of Imam Hussein to leave his janazah without the kameez. And finally, one of the ashqiya, he says that I came to steal the kamarband, the belt of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He came to steal it, and he says, I found that the janazah of Hussein, his hand moved miraculously and he grabbed it. So I had to cut the hand of Hussein ibn Ali so that I can steal the kamarband and the belt of Imam Hussein. And then Imam Hussein's hand, the other hand, moved miraculously to grab it, but I had to cut the other hand as well so that I can steal the kamarband and the belt of Imam Hussein. Look at the zulm done towards Sayyid al-Shuhada. And finally, when after Imam Hussein had been killed, now the ladies are going from one khiyam to the other, from one khayma to the other, and Hazrat Zainab comes to Imam Sajjad and asks him, shall we die or shall we go out without hijab? And Imam Sajjad replies back, you have to go out to protect your life, in other words. And they came out of the khiyam, and Hazrat Zainab is now collecting all the children. All the children are collecting, but she finds the Sakina is not there. So she goes out towards the maktal and calling Sakina. And finally, she finds Sakina is lying. Sakina used to lie over the chest of her father Hussein. So she came out and she discovered that this girl is sleeping over the chest of a body that does not have the head on it. So Sakina is sleeping over there. And Hazrat Zainab moves forward. She grabs Hazrat Sakina and asks her, how did you recognize this is the janazah of your father? And Sakina replied, I was just saying Baba, my father. I was calling dad. And the voice came from this janazah, Ilayya, Ilayya, Ya Bunayya. Come to me, my daughter. So I understood that this is the body of my fathers.
Ala laknatullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayya'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. بارلاها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما, انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما. تمام علماء ربانیین, تمام مراجع کرام, بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار رکھ. تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما. تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. تمام مؤمنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. تمام مؤمنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما. بارلہا ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما. ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں. ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں